Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Albert Memmi's The Colonizer and the Colonized is a landmark work of political psychology and social analysis that examines the relationship between colonial rule and the people who live within it. Written from the perspective of a Tunisian Jewish intellectual shaped by French colonialism, the book explores how colonial systems do more than extract resources and impose laws. They create roles, identities, and everyday habits that entangle both sides. Memmi breaks the colonial world into two primary figures, the colonizer and the colonized, and analyzes how each is shaped by privilege, dependency, fear, and resistance. Rather than treating colonialism only as an external policy, he studies it as a lived reality that affects language, work, culture, morality, and self-image. The result is a sharp, accessible framework for understanding not only historical empires, but also the lingering social patterns that remain after formal independence. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, colonialism as a system that produces roles. A central idea in Memmi's analysis is that colonialism is not merely a set of political decisions, but a complete social system that manufactures fixed roles. The colonizer is positioned as legitimate, civilizing, and entitled, while the colonized is positioned as inferior, dependent, and in need of control. These roles are not accidental. They are maintained through laws, economic arrangements, education, and cultural narratives that justify unequal treatment. Memmi shows how the system requires continual explanation of why privilege exists, which leads to a constant production of stereotypes and rationalizations. At the same time, the colonized is forced into a narrow social space where aspirations are blocked and daily life is organized around limitation. By focusing on roles, the book clarifies why colonial societies tend to feel rigid and theatrical, with individuals pushed to perform identities that serve the system. This framework also helps explain why simple reforms often fail, because the problem is structural. Altering a policy without dismantling the role-making machinery leaves the basic relationship intact, and the social order quickly reasserts itself. Secondly, the colonizer's contradictions privilege, dependence, and denial. Memmi portrays the colonizer as living with deep contradictions. The colonizer benefits materially and socially from the colonial order, but that benefit depends on an arrangement that is difficult to defend ethically. To resolve this tension, the colonizer often turns to denial, myth-making, or paternalism, insisting that domination is necessary, benevolent, or deserved. Memmi distinguishes between different postures a colonizer might adopt, including the one who tries to see themselves as a humanist and the one who embraces domination openly. Yet even the most sympathetic stance runs into the reality that privilege is sustained by inequality. The colonizer becomes dependent on the system for status and comfort, which can generate fear of loss and hostility toward change. This dependence can harden into a defensive identity that resists criticism and interprets demands for justice as threats. Memmi's value here is his refusal to reduce the colonizer to a simple villain. Instead, he explains the psychological maneuvers that make participation in an unjust system feel normal, and why even well-meaning individuals can end up reinforcing domination. Thirdly, the colonized experience humiliation, constraints, and internal conflict. On the other side of the relationship, Memmi examines how colonial rule shapes the inner life of the colonized. The colonized faces material deprivation and restricted opportunity, but also repeated messages that their culture, language, and history are lesser. Over time, this can produce humiliation, anger, and a complicated struggle over identity. Memmi analyzes how colonial society blocks normal paths of advancement, turning education and work into arenas where effort does not reliably yield dignity or security. This frustration can feed both resistance and despair. He also emphasizes internal conflict. The colonized may be pressured to imitate the colonizer's values to gain limited access to power, while also recognizing that full acceptance is withheld. The result is a painful double bind involving assimilation and rejection. Memmi's focus on psychology does not ignore politics. Instead, it shows how political domination becomes intimate, affecting self-perception and social relationships. This topic helps readers understand why colonial damage can persist after formal independence, since the habits of devaluation and the wounds of inequality do not vanish automatically when flags change. Fourthly, myth, stereotype, and the justification of inequality, Memmi argues that colonialism requires a continuous ideological effort to justify itself. Because domination cannot easily be defended as fair, it must be framed as natural, necessary, or beneficial. This is where myths and stereotypes become tools of governance. The colonized is depicted as lazy, irrational, childlike, violent, or incapable of self-rule. And these depictions then serve as evidence that control must continue. Memmi shows how such myths are flexible. If the colonized is poor, it proves inferiority. If the colonized resists, it proves danger. If the colonized succeeds, it is treated as an exception that confirms the rule. Meanwhile, the colonizer is portrayed as industrious, rational, and modern, reinforcing a sense of moral entitlement. The power of this analysis lies in its attention to the everyday circulation of ideology through education, media, and casual conversation. Myths do not only persuade outsiders, they can shape how colonized people are treated in institutions and how they are seen by themselves. By explaining the mechanics of justification, Memmi offers readers a way to recognize how narratives about culture and capacity can mask economic interests and political control, both in colonial history and in later social debates. Lastly, decolonization, revolt, and the limits of reform. Memmi treats decolonization as more than a diplomatic event. It is a profound rupture driven by the realization that the colonial relationship cannot be equalized without being dismantled. In his framework, reform is limited because the system depends on unequal roles that cannot be fully reconciled. This is why the colonized, after enduring blocked futures and systematic disrespect, may view revolt as the only path to dignity. Memmi explores the emotional and political forces that build toward rupture, including the role of collective identity and the desire to reclaim history and agency. At the same time, he acknowledges the costs and complexities of liberation. Breaking the colonial structure does not instantly create stable institutions or heal psychological scars. Yet he insists that continued domination is not a viable solution, because it perpetuates a permanent conflict and corrodes moral life on both sides. This topic makes the book especially useful for readers trying to understand why independence movements took the forms they did, why compromise often failed, and why post-colonial societies can face difficult transitions. Memmi provides a framework for seeing decolonization as the end of an imposed relationship, not merely the transfer of administration. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers interested in colonial history, political theory, sociology, psychology, and post-colonial studies, as well as anyone trying to understand how domination operates through everyday life and identity. Students and general readers alike can benefit from Memmi's clear structure, which turns a complex historical phenomenon into recognizable social roles and pressures. The practical value is that it trains the reader to detect how inequality is justified, normalized, and defended, and how those justifications affect both the privileged and the marginalized. That insight can sharpen critical thinking about contemporary debates involving race, migration, nationalism, and the long afterlife of empire, even when formal colonial rule has ended. Compared with similar books, Memmi stands out for balancing moral clarity with psychological nuance. He does not reduce colonialism to abstract economics alone, and he does not treat individuals as simple caricatures. Instead, he explains how a system recruits ordinary people into predictable patterns of denial, resentment, and resistance. The book is worth buying because it offers an enduring conceptual toolkit that remains readable, provocative, and widely applicable across different colonial contexts and their aftermaths. If you would like to support Albert Memmi, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.